the front lines of America Babylon and transmitting worldwide on the internet and satellite. You're listening to Omega Man Radio with Shannon Davis.
Good afternoon, Brother John. Everybody, welcome aboard. We're right on time for the Friday night marathon. Every Friday, we kick it off with Pastor John Terrell. Coming to you from Sacramento, California. Website, eaec.org. Hope you'll join us here live. And also, remember to bring a friend. Brother John, would you like to open us in prayer?
I'd be very happy to. My Heavenly Father, again, thank you. Thank you for another Omega Man Radio program. And Father God, as I finish this particular lesson that I've been working on for more than 21 sessions, this is the 24th session today, I pray, Father God, that it will be enlightening and that it will open up the minds of people that would have a little bit better understanding how to live and how to have fellowship with Jesus Christ all the time. And I just want to praise you right now and thank you, Lord. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, my friend, and welcome back. It's all yours.
Thank you. I've been working in my book, Christian Dynamics, course number 4. And we've been working on lesson 50 for 21 weeks. There's been times before that I was sick or we didn't have a program, but 21 times. This is the 21st segment on this chapter, and this is my final one on this particular chapter. And the chapter in the book is called Tune in God and Turn Off the Devil. And today we're going to be talking about tuning in God. What does it require to tune in God? And I'm going to start in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, and we're going to first talk about salvation. Now, there are many different ways of looking upon salvation. I'm going to give you this particularly version of salvation, and I'm going to back it up with scriptures. If you do not have the same version, you disagree, then we just have to agree to disagree on what salvation is. So, the number one thing I'm going to want to say is this. We cannot work for our salvation. It is a free gift. A free gift you don't work for. You receive it. And we start in John chapter 3, and I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 7. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that you do except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. This is a concept that is well understood in Baptist churches, Pentecostal churches, but not necessarily in Presbyterian, Methodist, and Lutheran churches, because they, and of course not in a Roman Catholic church. So what does it mean to be born again? Jesus said, if you look at number 5, verse number 5 here, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So what Jesus is saying here, in order to be born again, you have to have been born physically. This has nothing to do with water baptism. Except a man be born of water. When a woman gives birth, before anything's happened, the water breaks and the water comes out. And after the water comes the baby. So what Jesus says here is this. In order to be born again, you have to be born physically, and you also have to be born spiritually. So now the question comes, how are we born spiritually? I'm going to start in the book of Acts, chapter 3. It's in the book of Acts, chapter 3, and verse number 19. Repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing should come for the presence of the Lord. I wish that Jesus would have had the teaching, we would have had a chapter on how to be born again. We don't have that from Jesus. He just said you have to be born again. So we have to go to different writings in the New Testament and piece it together. So repentance is important. Repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the time for refreshing had come for the presence of the Lord. Now I want to read verse 17 here. And now in verse number 17, we read this. I want you to not to be ignorant that you did as did also your rulers. But those things which God before showed you by the mouth of his prophet that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. So the people simply asked Peter here, how shall we be saved, or how shall we be born again? So now, repentance. What is repentance? Let me try to illustrate that in a very simple way. Let's say that Shannon and I are meeting someplace in the world, and I'm going to Indonesia, he is here, and we are meeting. And we're going to have a nice fellowship meal. So we go to a nice restaurant, and he sits on one end of the table, and I sit on the other end of the table. And we're having a great meal, and so on. And suddenly, something gets into me, and I kick his leg, one of his legs, very hard under the table. And, of course, he's going to scream and say, ouch, and said, why did you do that? And I would just say, well, Shannon, I am so sorry. I'm sorry. I repent of that. Please forgive me. I didn't mean to do that. Well, as he's nursing his leg, he says, okay, I forgive you. So 20 minutes later, I hit him again. This time harder. Now he yells and screams, and then he says, John, why did you do that? And I says, "Well, Shannon, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I want to repent of this. Please forgive me. I didn't mean to do it." Well, it's going to be a little harder this time for him to forgive me. But since he is a Christian and we're told to forgive, he's going to say, "All right, I forgive you." And so we continue having our meal. I kick him a third time. And this time, Shannon will say this: "You liar. You are not. There's no repentance in you. There's nothing in you. You're a scumbag. You did this on purpose. You want to hurt me." Now, if I say, "I'm sorry, repent," he's going to say, "You hit me three times. And I tell you what, there's no repentance in you." So what is repentance? You don't repeat the same thing again and again. Now, we might do that. There might be something happen, and a year after you had some incident, you fall in sin again and you ask God for forgiveness. Now, he's looking down upon your soul and spirit, and if he sees that you are genuine, he will forgive you. So, forgiveness is that you mean it, you're sorry, and you do not want to repeat it again. With that, we're going to go now to the next scripture here, which will be in Romans chapter 10. So we're going to go to Romans chapter 10. And we're going to read from verses 8 through 13. But what says it? The word is nigh you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which you preach. That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. But there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is richer to all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Here we have it laid out by the Apostle Paul, that they got to be in confession with our mouth. We got to have a repentance. So what are we repenting of? We are repenting of our sins. I don't think there's a person on this earth that would say that he's a good person, that he has no sin, that he is not doing any bad things. We do know this, that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you might not have been robbing a bank, or you might not have shot someone, but we got attitude sins. And they are sins, just like if you shoot somebody, rob somebody, or you hurt somebody. What is an attitude sin? Attitude sin is that you are arrogant, you are not helping people, you are getting angry, you cuss people out, you cheat people, we don't forgive people. So all of us have sinned. So what, let's try to define what sin is. Sin is breaking one of God's commandments. Now in Hebrews it says, be you holy because I am holy. What does it mean? What does the word holy mean? Holy means set apart. So, all of us have committed a sin. Matter of fact, a lot of sin. Is sin a big issue for God? When Adam and Eve, actually Eve was tempted, Adam was not. When the serpent came up to Eve, she was perfect. She was saved. She had a body, soul, and a spirit. And she had never sinned. She lived in a perfect environment. And there was one tree that Jesus had created and set in there, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And he said to Adam and then Eve, do what you eat of that. You cannot eat of that. So eating of that tree would be a sin. Sin is when we disobey God. So the middle of the story, the serpent came in, which is the devil. He had possessed that body. And the temptation was, he said, has God said that you cannot eat of this or that? And she said, yes. And then he said, well, if you eat of this, you will become like gods. What was the temptation? The temptation was that Eve was not happy with the state that she was in of being a creature that was sinless. She wanted to have more. She wanted to be like the angels, like gods. And she said, well, if I eat that fruit, I can be like that. And so the temptation was that she wanted to have more. She wanted to have a bigger position. She wanted to have more knowledge. She wanted to get more excited. So she took out a fruit and ate it. And that constituted sin. And at that moment, her spirit died. Now, Adam, when he came, Adam was never tempted by the devil. Adam was tempted by Eve. Eve simply said, hey, eat this boy. And he realized, you ate the last forbidden fruit. And he could have said, well, I'm sorry, Eve. I'm going to stay with God. Bye-bye. But he looked, take a long, hard look at her beautiful body and remember all the time they've been together. And he says, nah, give me the fruit. And he ate. Disobeying God is sin. And it cost Adam and Eve that were kicked out of the garden, that were told there would be a future redeemer that would come and pay for the sin. But they got kicked out, they got cursed, and life was never the same. So sin is when we disobey God. Have you ever thought about you have a newborn baby? And they're so sweet, so innocent. And, but you know what? They have a body and they got a soul, but they have a dead spirit. Because we are born with a dead spirit. And when a child gets older, 2 years old, 3 years old, he will begin to display is temper. I want to be fed. I want to have the diapers done. And if a baby is not fed fast enough, he's going to scream. He's going to yell. And he knows if I do that, here comes mommy, here comes dad. I get food, I get changed, I get cleaned up. And then when they get older, 3, 4, 5 years old, here comes the first lie. Temper tantrum, anger. I don't get it my way. I'm going to stand there and hit my head in the wall until I get my way. So sin comes up early. So the bottom line is this. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that is just a fact. Remember now, you had to be born again. You had to confess Jesus Christ. How now are you saved? How is the salvation working? Now we're going to go to 2 Corinthians. And we're going to go to chapter 5. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to read from verse number 18. All and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing the trespasses unto them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Salvation was made possible by Jesus Christ. And I know I might be talking about fundamental things here, but I think that many times we forget the fundamental things and we get hasty. So after Adam and Eve had sinned, their offspring were born in sin. They all were turned over to sin. So everyone became a sinner. And a person born on this earth is born a sinner. He's born lost. He's a dead spirit and a sinful nature. And actually, when we are born, we are members or citizens in the kingdom of Satan. I will explain that in a little bit. So when Jesus came down, and first of all, after he was arrested, he was beaten 39 times, less one lash, 40 times, less minus one. And the Bible says, by his stripes, we are healed. I want you to catch this now. With each stripe that Roman soldier laid on Jesus' naked body, because they stripped him of his clothing, contained every disease, every deformity, every damage to human body. And by the time he had 39 lashes, Jesus was the sickest man in the world. Every disease from Adam and Eve to the last person living had now been transferred to his body. That's what we read in Isaiah. By his stripes we are healed. Now bleeding, very sick, he was stumbling now going up to Calvary where they had the crucifixion. he was given the crossbeam to carry, and he couldn't do it, so they asked Simon of Cyrene to carry it for him. And so I want you to understand now that here is Jesus now, full of diseases, cancer, heart attacks, strokes, dementia, everything you can imagine had now been laid upon his physical body. He comes up to Calvary, and they nail him and set him up on the cross and crucify him. He's bleeding. He's hurting. He's sick like a dog. Then the Bible says there was darkness over the land. And now God the Father took every sin committed from the time of Adam and Eve to the last person to live on this earth in the future. All that sin was now put on Jesus, and he became the most sinful creature in the entire creation. And when God had put all that sin upon him, God began to judge him. Not only was he sick now, not only was he stricken with all the sin, but now the wrath of God was poured upon him like a blowtorch. And that's why Jesus cried out to the end, my God, why have thou forsaken me? Because when God judged Jesus, there was a separation between him and the Father. And Jesus now received the wrath of God. And then suddenly, Jesus spoke and said, it is finished. And the Bible says he gave up the ghost. And his body died. And Jesus left the body on the cross and went to paradise. We stayed for 3 days and three nights. What I'm telling you here now is this. God can forgive you and me when we ask for forgiveness, because Jesus Christ paid for every sin that you ever have done and that you ever will have to do until you go and leave this earth. He paid for it. That's why when you ask for forgiveness, the Bible said it is a gift, not a works. Let me shoot that into you right now. That's from Ephesians chapter 2. That's Ephesians chapter 2 and verses number 8, 9, and 10. For by grace are you saved, through faith. That not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So when Jesus paid for our sins on the cross, they were paid for. That means, and I want you to understand this now, you take a person like Adolf Hitler, who was a bad person. You take Joseph Stalin, was a bad person. Mao Zedong was a very bad person. You take any person on this earth that you know is a really bad person. those sins were forgiven on the cross. But since these men did not appropriate that, receiving the gift and repenting, those sins had to be paid for now by them themselves, and they ended up in hell. And later, the lake of fire. Let's try to wrap this now so you have an understanding. Let's say that somebody come up, I'm going to use Brother Shannon again as an example. And I decide this, that I've seen him riding motorcycles in the island where he lives and stuff like this. I don't know if he got a car. Most likely he doesn't have a car. So I simply contact Ford Motor Company and says that I want to have the finest car that you have. I want to have a Suburban because he got children. And I want you to ship that to Indonesia, and I want a sales rep to go and drive it and present that to Shannon. I pay for the car. So the factory gets paid. I pay for it. Now, Shannon's wife comes out and says, wow, look at this nice Suburban. Wow, all of us can fit in that. Air conditioning and everything, got everything in it. Now, who paid for this? Well, John Terrell paid for that. But I can't receive that. That's too much money. I got to work for this. So he calls me and said, you know, you should have done that, John. That's too big of a gift. I said, shut up, man. I paid for that. I love you. I want you and your family to have that car. Now get in it, drive it, enjoy it. But he said, I can't do that because it is too much. I can't receive this. It's paid for in full. Enjoy it. So in order for him now to have the car, he has to say to the representative that comes to bring it over, I receive this vehicle. When he says, I receive this vehicle, the title is transferred to Shannon. And it is now his vehicle. He never paid for it, but it's now his. Jesus paid for all our sins on the cross. All of them. And he purchased us. Paul talks about being a bond slave. So in reality, when you accept the gift, you're told about salvation, you told what Jesus did, you told that all you have to do is to repent, believe that Jesus did this, and ask God for forgiveness, and the transaction is done. And that is how salvation is done. Now, let's say that Shannon gets mad at me on a program and says, I don't like her anymore. And I says, okay, if that's the case, ship me the car back. No, that gift is his. It doesn't matter what he does. That gift is his. The action when he received it sealed the deed. Now, remember now, For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I committed my life to Christ at the age of 3. I was led to Christ in Sunday school either at the age of 4 and 5. I recommitted my faith in Christ when I was about 12 or 13 years old. And after that, I got into sin. I left the church. I started going to the movies. I started smoking. I started chasing. I started cussing. I started telling dirty jokes. I was stealing. I was fighting. I was a nasty person. And then, at the age of 23, the Holy Spirit convicted me. And I asked God for forgiveness. And I simply said, God, I am sorry for the things I'd done. And I was forgiven of all that dirty stuff that I'd done. Now, when was I saved? I was saved the moment I accepted the gift. Will I be sinless until I leave this earth? No. Someone's going to irritate me. I'm going to lose my temper. Somebody is going to do something to me, you know, and I'm going to get angry. I don't cuss anymore. I don't use substitute words, but I can get angry. And, you know, I'm just stewing in it until God says, what's your problem, boy? Just ask for forgiveness and forgive. So I'm going to take you now to, you're going to go to Colossians, which is a little bit further down in the Bible. So we're going to go to Colossians. And I can say that I had, I'm not going to finish this today. I don't know. I thought I didn't have enough material. In Colossians chapter 1, in verse number 12, we read this. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to partake of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness, has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So before I accepted the gift of that Jesus paid for my sins, I was a citizen in the kingdom of Satan. That's what I was, a citizen. Jesus paid for my sins 2,000 years ago. I did not even exist. He had designed our souls, but we didn't have any life. We were designed for the foundation of the world, but I didn't exist. But Jesus knew that I was going to be born 2,000 years later, and I was going to be born in sin. I was going to be born in the kingdom of Satan. And Jesus had made a payment for me 2,000 years ago. And that gift of salvation was waiting for me. It will not be applied until I accepted it. When I was told to repent, that Jesus paid my sins, I repented, I acknowledged his work on Calvary. I said, please, Jesus, come on in and save me. And at that moment, my sins now were transferred from me. They were taken away from me now. They were paid for. Let me go back and understand. My sins were paid for. But until the moment I repented and was born again, I had the sins. You take a person like Joe Biden, which I personally don't like because of his policies. Now, Jesus paid for Joe Biden's sins 2,000 years ago. All the garbage he's done, all the bad things. Jesus paid for all of that. But it hasn't been applied. He's not born again. He's a Roman Catholic. He's a bad Catholic. He believes in abortion and so on. And he believes in homosexuality. But I want you to understand this. The moment Joe Biden says, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I have sinned. I am a sinner. I am sorry. I believe that Jesus died for me on the cross, rose on the third day. I want to repent of my sins right now and be forgiven. That rascal will be forgiven. Personally, I don't think it is fair. Because I think he ought to pay for that. But here's where grace comes in. After the day, after the moment you draw your last breath, a person got to get saved on his deathbed. The way you want to do it, you want to get saved as a child, early. So you get moved into the kingdom of God. We are purchased by Jesus on the cross. He bought us. We are his property. I am not my own. I am not a master any longer over me. I was purchased 2,000 years ago. And when I accepted that purchase, and I accepted the gift of salvation, at that moment, my dead spirit was born again. I was sealed by the Holy Spirit. And the sealing simply says to the devil, fallen angels, and evil spirit, this is God's property. There's a difference between the sealing of the Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now I want to take it to the Gospel of John. And I'm sorry if I bore you, but I want to lay down a track record here. So we're going to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. And we're going to read here what Jesus said. As John 10, we'll start in verse number 27. John 10, 27. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. When I made a decision to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and accept his work on the cross, at that time, I was given eternal life. I was not given a promise of eternal life, if I do this and this and this and this and that, and then die, or if I don't sin anymore and so on. Jesus didn't say that. So here's what I'm trying to get across to you right now. Remember the card that I gave to Shannon? And let's say now that Shannon and his wife really enjoyed the driving around wherever they want to go. And Shannon says, you know what? I got to pray for this. And he's trying to start making payments, send me money, this and that. And I get money wired or whatever it is. And I look upon that and I says, what? And I call up Shannon and says, what are you sending that money for? Well, I'm always a lot of money. And, you know, I want to work for it. I don't want just to have a gift. I want to be part of it. I said, you idiot. I gave that to you. It's yours. Free, clear, you got the title. Use your money in other places, but don't pay for something that already is paid. And so Jesus said, I give them eternal life that shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. In other words, I cannot even pluck myself out of God, out of the hands of Jesus, because I am his property. I don't belong to myself. I am his property. And he has a way of dealing with me if I run amok. I mean, he does chastise. There is discipline. There might be a time he simply whacked me to death because I don't pay attention to it. So let me take you right now to 2 Corinthians. That's 2 Corinthians. And the question is this, now can I live like hell and still be saved? You don't want to live like hell, but some people do. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we read this from verse number 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. When you leave this earth and you are born again, you're going to go to heaven. But when you come up into heaven, yes, you get your robe, whiter than snow, but you also have a court date. And there is a court date for you. And Jesus is going to be your judge. And when you are in heaven, it's not a question if you're saved or not. It will be a question of, what are your position going to be in heaven? And whatever you did not ask for forgiveness for on this earth, you will make payments in heaven. Verse number 11, he says this, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also made manifest in your conscience. At this judgment, they're going to run your story. And where is the story located? It's in your hard drive, in your soul. Every action, everything we have done is recorded in our souls. And all Jesus had to do is like a car mechanic does. You bring a car in today to a car dealer. It's not running right. And they said, fine. They come out, they have with them a little computer. They plug that into your car, and the car will simply has a computer. Everything is recorded, what happened. And in a few minutes, the technician will say, well, your problem is this problem. You have problem with the injectors. You got a problem with your electricity. You got this problem, that problem. They diagnosed it on the spot. 50 years ago, we had no computers. We had to look for it. We had to take it apart. So, knowing that for the terror of the Lord, we be slain man, but we are made manifest to God, and I trust also made manifest in your conscience. Had Jesus spoken about this? And the answer is, yes, he has spoken about this. And I want to share that to you. And we're going to go to Matthew. And we're going to go to chapter 18. And I'm going to tell you the story first. The story of a man that was a steward. And he embezzled. And he was found out. He asked for forgiveness, and he was reinstated. And he simply asked, verse number 26, the servant therefore fell down and worshipped, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. The Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Now he had a servant under him, and he owed him. So this guy owed him about $3 million. And his servant owed him $3,200. And his servant said, please forgive me, I will pay you back. And he said, no. He took him by the throat, cast him in prison, and said, you're going to stay in prison. I'm going to sell your wife and children until you are paid up. So the fellow servants got really excited about this. They went and told that to the Lord or to God. And here's what God said in verse number 32. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said to him, oh, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you desired me. Should not you also have compassion on your fellow servant, even as I have pity on you? And his Lord was wroth, delivered unto the tormentors, till he should pay all of our due unto him. Let me read that verse again. And delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all of our due him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your heart forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. The Catholic Church had purgatory. And they get purgatory from this, that's going to be a judgment of Christ in heaven. There is no purgatory per se, but we are going to pay. If you have sins that you have not dealt with, it can be forgiveness. You're not forgiving someone. It can be you've been stealing. It can be that you have been having sex out of that marriage. You don't want to repent of it. When your body dies and you are saved, you go to heaven. You're going to go to the judgment seat of Christ. Do we have another writing on this? We sure do. In Hebrews, I'm going to turn to Hebrews right now, and we're going to go to chapter 10. That's Hebrews chapter 10. Verse number 26. That's Hebrews 10, 26. And I can see what I ate all my time. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. If I simply say I don't like this guy, I'm going to shoot him, and then afterward I'm going to ask God to forgive me, you sin willfully, and that is not going to be under the blood. But a certain fearful looking for a judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy on the two or three witnesses. How much more sore punishment, suppose you, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden afoot the Son of God, has counted the blood of the covenant, wherein he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth to me, I will recompense, says the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. Notice that. The Lord shall judge his people. This is writing to the Christians. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I want to close this teaching here, going back to Ephesians again. So we're going to go back to Ephesians, and we're going to look at chapter 2 here, Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So the bottom line, what I'll try to share with you today is simply this. Salvation is a gift from God. Jesus paid for the sins of all humans on the cross. He took every disease upon him by the stripe, the 39 stripes. So here's what Jesus is offering you. He's offering you healing from all your sicknesses. He's offering you forgiveness of all your sins and eternal life. You receive it. It is yours. Now, it is up to you now to work out your salvation. Because the Bible teaches here, we saved by grace, but we will be held accountable for anything we did not repent of. And that the Christian will pay for at the judgment seat of Christ, which takes place in heaven. So I might have scared you today, or I might just have simply given you hope that salvation is completely the work of God. Now, I am responsible for how I work this out. If I do good works, if I ask God for repentance, if I forgive other people, if I do what he wants me to do, I'm going to get rewards. But if I mess up, I don't want to repent of it, and I'm simply rebellious, he says, fine, we deal with that when you get up here. And I don't want to have tormenting angels beat the tar out of me so that I will make payments. I want to go the easy way, and that is asking for forgiveness for everything. Let the blood wash it out. So when I got to heaven, all that's been discussed with me is my rewards, not what I did not repent of. So with that, my time is up. I want to say this. If you like what you heard today, or you like Omega Man Radio and so on, remember this. Shannon Davis is full-time. He lives on the gospel. He preaches the gospel. He lives by the gospel. And so if you say, well, this is worth something, go to Shannon Davis' website, find his donation area buttons, and give him a good offering, because if you don't do that, he will not be able to come back. So if you want to keep him going, then keep financing him. If you want to have material from me, I have a lot of stuff on our website. I have a book that we use for deliverance called Christian Dynamics Course Number 1, and that's on the website. And I have quite a bit of what I share with you here today is in that book. Also, if you want to watch us every Sunday, I have a live webcast from our church here in Sheridan, California. And we start at 8:30 in the morning with music, 9 o'clock prayer time, and then about 9:30 I start preaching. And you go to our website, look at live webcast, click on that. And if you can't see it live, you can come in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, up to Saturday and see what I did. So if you want to see right now today what I did last Sunday, just go to our website. Go to webcast page, click on that, and you will see the service we did a week ago. And we have a lot of videos. I'm on YouTube, I'm on Vimeo, I'm on Rumble, and on a number of different platforms. So if you want to have the material, we have it available. But most of all, think about what I told you today. Read the scriptures. And I make a promise to yourself, I want to live a clean life. I want everything I've done that is not right to be under the blood. So when the time is about to go, I am ready. Back to you, Sean.
Brother John, what would you like to title this for the archive tonight?
Okay. Salvation and the judgment seat of Christ.
Okay, in the judgment seat of Christ. Let me just tack this on to the end. You know, my definition I've come up with, probably someone else has already used it, is grace is a space and time that you and I can repent before the Spirit leaves our body. So, praise God that we have an opportunity now to confess, renounce, repent of our sins, turn from them, and be forgiven. I do believe that the mercy of God will allow some people to get in, and they get in with a smell of smoke on them. He'll save them even at the last moment in many cases, and some will go in and have no reward. It says everything will be tried by fire, and what was built on hay, wood, and stubble will be consumed. What remains, you know, will be a substance of the reward. That's my understanding. I would caution people, however, about thinking that you can commit any sin you want and still make it into heaven. Because there is a whole school out there, some call them the OSAS movement. It's big in the Baptist movement. Basically, they believe once saved, always saved. There's no way to fall into God's hands. And I have to take objection to that because Jesus said, if you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, there's no forgiveness for that. That would be a terrible thing to do, and I don't recommend anybody do it. And I really haven't heard anybody really preach on what blaspheming the Holy Ghost is, but my understanding is attributing the works of God to the works of Satan.
Correct.
The other thing, though, which seems to be a bigger issue, and I have run into this in the past few years with COVID, is there are some teaching, Brother John, that you could take the mark of the beast, worship the beast, and still make it to heaven. Because God understands that, look, you know, you needed to buy milk for your kids, you had to go to work, so there would be no way to do it unless you took that mark. So God will understand and he'll forgive me.
Can I say something?
Absolutely.
There are two things in the Bible that you can lose your salvation on.
Yes.
One is to take the mark of the beast. Second one is, we have it in the last chapter of Revelation, if you take things out of the Bible and simply said, this is not in the Bible, it's not in the Bible, and you teach men so, your name is taken out of the book of life. Two things.
You're right about
that. I guarantee you.
Absolutely. I missed that one. That is exactly true, too. Jesus said that. So, if a person wants to be a fool and do those things, well, you won't make it into heaven. And I'll just say this in closing. No one needs to take the mark of the beast. It's not going to be forced on anybody where they're going to hold you down and give it to you. It's got to be a free choice to take it. Now, if we live long enough to see that, and I believe we could very well, And we get to that point, they may say, look, if you do not take the mark, I'm going to take your head off. Clearly, there are many that are beheaded for the gospel in the end times. And the crowd, oh God, how long until you avenge us? And he said, until the number be completed that are supposed to die this way. Paraphrased. So folks, if they take your head, so be it. You go immediately into the presence of the Lord. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, Paul said. But if you deny Christ and worship the beast and take the mark, the Bible is very clear, you will have your part in the lake of fire which burns forever. You do not pass go. You go right into hell, followed by the lake of fire at the great white throne judgment. That's where you'll be. And I believe there is a real danger that there could be some Christians out there that could be their end. God forbid. And I say that only because during these COVID-19 vaccinations, I said, I don't know if this is the mark or not, but I'm not going to take it just to play it safe. Worst case scenario is it could be a precursor to the mark, and it could be. Best case scenario, it's not, but maybe, you suffer some ramifications from it, as we've seen. Many people have died from it. I said stay away from it. Well, it turns out it wasn't the mark. We'll know it when it's here. However, I had some people contact me, and they said, if you keep preaching that if you take the mark of the beast, I'm not coming back on your radio program, I will tell others not to tune in. And I said, well, then so be it. Because I didn't say that. Jesus said it in his word. Those that worship the beast and take the mark will have their part in the lake of fire which burns forever. So the response that came back to me was, no, look, God will forgive that. I said, that's not the scriptural. He will not forgive that. That's an unpardonable sin. Like the one you mentioned, taking away from the Word of God, and thirdly, blaspheming the Holy Ghost. So folks, don't believe that if someone tells you that God will understand. No, he's not going to understand. What people don't do is read the whole Word of God, and so there is a real danger for that. But God is clearly merciful, and I praise God for his mercy. I wouldn't be here tonight. I know many people wouldn't be here tonight. And so thank God for his mercy and his grace, and this is a controversial one. We'll have to hit this one another time, Brother John. But I also lean on the side of suicide will send you right into hell. And I say that because of this. You can commit any of those Ten Commandments, and I don't recommend you do. And if you fall in the grace and mercy of the Lord while you're still alive, you can repent. He'll forgive you. I've broken some of those Ten Commandments. Maybe some of you out there have. But how do you forgive, Brother John, when you've murdered your own self, which is against the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not murder, and you're dead? How are you going to repent when you're dead?
So come back next week and talk about it.
Let's do that. So tune in next week for more. Go to eaec.org. Check out Brother John's website. Be a part of his ministry. Support it. Brother John, fantastic teaching. We love and appreciate you. And this is always stimulating, folks. Tune in every week, Friday. We love you, Brother John.
Love you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Okay, folks. There we are. And I love my brothers and sisters in the Baptist movement that are diehard OSAS. I'm talking about, there's some ministers out there, I know. But we have to preach the truth, and that is, if you take that mark, you will be damned to hell. So don't take it. Has it come out yet? It is coming, though, and don't take the COVID-19 either. It'll kill you prematurely. That is a bioweapon, a death shot. Okay. Let me go ahead and get set up. We've got our next guest coming up, and I apologize I'm running a few minutes late. Okay, I got off of my micro-sermon. Here we go.